For our scripture reading, let us turn this morning to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, the verses 13 through 21. Luke chapter 12, we start reading with verse 13, and we read through 21. And the text of the sermon will be the portion we read this morning. In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, we read God's holy word. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So far the reading of the Word of God. Beloved congregation, did you forget something now that you are sitting in church? You wonder, forget something? Why? I'm here, well dressed, and I took some money or a check with me to give it to the Lord and His service. Oh, sure, you took it with you. But the question remains, did you forget something? Did you forget your gratitude? God has given many blessings to us all. We have received a lot. We have to admit, the Lord is good to us, to our loved ones, to our church. Are we really thankful for this? Is there true gratitude in your heart? This morning we will listen to a parable about a man who had received much, but who forgot one thing, namely to take God into account, because that is the main trait of gratitude, taking God into account. So we write with the sermon, The Fool's Thanksgiving Day, The Fool's Thanksgiving Day. What he forgot in his riches, what he needed in his poverty. The Fool's Thanksgiving Day, what he forgot in his riches, what he needed in his poverty. In this portion of the scripture, we read about a man who came to the Lord Jesus. He came to ask something, not to be healed, not with the desire to tempt him like the Pharisees and scribes did many times. No, he came with a question that he had occupied him for a long time. He posed his question to the Lord Jesus. Children, that is the best thing you can do. Take your heart's questions to the Lord Jesus. Questions like, how do I get converted? How can I get a new heart? How can I obey the Lord? How do I get to know Him? What was the question of this man? Similar questions? No, not at all. He had a question about inheritance. Probably the inheritance of a father or mother who had passed away not so long ago that needed to be divided. But the problem is that his brother was not willing to divide the inheritance. Why did he not go to the judge instead of going to the Lord Jesus? A judge adjudicates. You are right. But the problem is that no man was willing to help him out. So his motive to seek the Lord Jesus was the same as the many sick and possessed ones. They also had no one who could help them. But he believed that if no one could help him out, the Lord Jesus could. It strikes us that the Lord Jesus did not answer him at once. What Jesus did was using the question to draw attention to another issue, namely the danger of covetousness. The Lord Jesus did this by telling this touching parable, a parable with a frightful end. The Lord wants to warn and caution this man, and through this rich but foolish man, the Lord warns us today too. What is the parable about? It's about a rich man, as we read in verse 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. We imagine this man was a farmer and not a poor one. He must have had a lot of land. Maybe he had inherited the farm and expanded it into a large ranch. But he did not only have much property. The land had borne a rich harvest. It had produced abundant fruit. The ground brought forth plentifully, says verse 16. It was so much that he didn't know where to store the bountiful harvest. His barns were not big enough. What did the rich man do? We read in verse 17, and he thought with himself. That means that he considered in his heart ways to best deal with this. How could he store all this fruit in a reasonable manner? In verse 18 we read his solution. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. He has a wise plan. He will break down the barns which are too small and build larger ones so that the harvest can be stored and large future harvest as well. He was a wise man in business. He dealt wisely with the growth of his farm, for he planned to make investments. But he was not only a wise man in business. He also said something else to himself. Read verse 19. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. He did not only plan and make investments. He also planned to take a little bit of rest and relax for a while. After so many years hard work, time had come to slow down a bit and enjoy the plentiful fruit. So far, everything had gone well in his life. He lived in prosperity and wealth. If you did not know the end of this parable, you would think that he lived long and happily thereafter. But all of a sudden, a change occurs in his life. As we read in verse 20 and 21, the first part of that, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself. What does this parable teach us? Why this serious end? Did the rich man do something wrong in his life? Was it wrong for him to have gotten rich? Is it wrong to be rich? No, it's not wrong to be rich. We never read in the scriptures that riches are condemned. Nevertheless, we do read of many warnings against riches. But riches in themselves are not wrong. Just think about Abraham and Job. Riches are signs or marks of God's favor, especially in the Old Testament. What is wrong that he planned? Was it wrong that he planned to expand his farm? Was it wrong to break down the barns and to rebuild larger ones? No, it was not wrong. On the contrary, it was a wise plan to make investments in time of bountiful harvest. In business and farming, you need to stay profitable and plan to keep your company or farm on a sound footing. Was it wrong for him to plan for some rest? For him to enjoy the fruit of the land and to take his ease and eat and drink and be merry? No, it's not wrong in itself to take some rest and relax for some time. It can be good to take some time off from work and do some other things. It is not wrong to enjoy the blessings of the Lord. We read in the Old Testament of instructions about times of rest. Just think of the Sabbath or the seventh year of release, a year of Sabbath, and the Jubilee, the 50th year. You can read about it in Leviticus 25. Land and servants receive rest for a long time. Thus, all these things are not wrong in themselves. To make plans and to forecast is not wrong. To enjoy the blessings and to be merry is not wrong. But what is? We read it in a small word in our text. The word himself. In everything he did, it was always about himself. We read in verse 17, and he thought within himself. When he was thinking about taking some ease, he only thought of himself. When he saw his business growing, he saved up money for himself. But he forgot to be grateful towards God, and thereby he also forgot his neighbor. With all his planning and devising, he forgot God. Keep in mind that this parable is not about a godless man in the first place. No, the Lord Jesus told this parable to people who recognized this story in their own environment. People who heard this parable for the first time imagined a Jewish farmer, in all things religious, someone who visits the temple faithfully and who gives the tenth part to the service of the Lord. Maybe we can say that he was blameless in his daily life. But he forgot God. And this parable is like a mirror. We have to look at it. Who and what are you on this day of Thanksgiving? We are all blessed, the one more than the other. Some of us have to go through a difficult time. Others enjoy prosperity. Maybe you received a raise this past year, or you got promoted. Maybe your health is good. Others have to deal with great problems and concerns. For example, you are not sure about your job. The company results are disappointing. You have concerns about your health. But with all the troubles, there is still so much that we received undeservedly. There is still reason to be thankful, isn't it? You enjoyed food and drink, clothes, a roof over your head. Do we take note of this? Or do we count only a few blessings? You know, as a result of sin, we so easily forget the blessings we receive. We see the blessings, but we fail to acknowledge the Lord as the benevolent giver. We do not come to the point of if we consider the blessings as quite normal. It's normal to wear nice clothes. It's normal to receive education at school or at home. It's normal that you can eat every day. I guess you would be unpleasantly surprised if there would be no dinner tonight. If you find everything to be normal, it is because you don't marvel at all these blessings. You forget that you received everything from God. The rich man received a multitude of blessings. He counted his blessings. He was thankful. But he forgot God as the benevolent giver. Do you see your picture in the mirror? If we live as if the smallest blessing is normal, you are just like this rich man. We are a fool. What are the consequences if we forget God? Let us look carefully to this rich man. He saw the blessings of plentiful fruit his ground had brought forth. He counts and counts again, and then he concludes, I have to expand my farm. He makes plans, in itself good plans. But while he counts the blessings, he forgets to take God into account. He forgets to seek the Lord in prayer with his plans. He does not need to, for he considers his plans to be the best. And while making his plans, he did not think about God. In this parable, we can learn what the profound implications are if we forget God in our considerations. If we forget God, we forget the awesome reality of this life. And what is the awesome reality of this life? That we all have to die. If we forget God in our thankfulness, in our gratitude, in all the blessings we receive, we don't think much about our death. We forget that death wings at us every hour. We forget that we have to die, that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. When we think about the future, we only think about this and about that, but there's no thought about our death. This farmer, in all his prosperity, forgot about God. But then God comes. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. He had to die. All of a sudden, unexpected and unthought of, what remained of his good plans? What remained of his good investments? What about all his riches and blessings he had received? What remained of his beautiful ranch? What about his retirement, his life of joy and ease? He could not bring along anything from this life, anything of the blessings. Always busy with his business, always busy with good things, but in the light of eternity, it meant nothing. An urgent question lingers after this parable. What will remain at the end of your life? What remains after this Thanksgiving's Day? What remains if you were to pass away today? If your life is filled with hard work, with your family, with school, with planning, with religion, then you are of all men most miserable. Then you are desperately poor. You have nothing when you must die. What can you offer the Lord if you are unconverted, if you have an unbelieving heart and God claims your soul? Without knowing Christ, without knowing the power of the blood of Christ, you cannot stand before God. Maybe some one of us are disappointed that this subject of the topic of the sermon precisely on this Thanksgiving Day. But my dear friend, what do you think the purpose of the Lord Jesus was in telling this parable? The Lord Jesus wanted to point out one thing, or better, one person. He pointed to God. His aim is that we become rich toward God. So by this parable we are pointed to the most important thing in life, namely that we take God into account. Without God, we will always miscalculate. Working well, planning well, living well, but not heeding the gospel. Namely, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It is so necessary that we are convinced of this, especially in our days. We enjoy prosperous, growing economy. We have to work harder. We have to work, husbands and women. We like to steady income and we like to spend money. We plan this and that. But do you take into account your soul? Do you first of all take into account what is good for your soul? Do you daily strive to enter in at the straight gate? Is that most important to you? It is essential that you do not focus on enriching yourself, but that you become rich in God. What's that? Rich toward God. We can still keep this parable, but with all we read, we have to add God. Rich toward God. That is how it is written in the Greek language as well. Toward God means that God is your aim. With everything you do, you take God into account. You acknowledge God in all the daily blessings. The rich man of the parable had received a multitude of blessings. He saw it, but he did not acknowledge God. He was not rich toward God. Do you acknowledge God in all your blessings? That is the beginning of a true gratitude. Acknowledge God in all things he does in his creation. And providence. If you acknowledge God in the blessings, you will bend your knees at the end of the day and you will give the Lord humble thanks for all you have received. You thank the Lord that you could go to school, that you had enough drink and food, that you still have a mom or a dad who takes care of you. It is all undeserved. When you learn this by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, you are not focused on yourself in the first place, but on God. Because everything you have is received from the goodness of God. Every gift is free grace. Not I worked for it, but God gave it to me undeservedly. Not my plans are the best. Not I am so good because I am so gifted. No, God gives you wisdom, strength, and insight. All the things I could do this past year was because God's grace. God gave it all. But there is more to say. Rich toward God means, in the second place, that I become smaller and smaller before God. True thankfulness means that I marvel about God's goodness despite my foolishness. God is good for a wretch like me. And when you confess that from the heart, you cannot be thankful without a tear. A tear from a broken heart. So the one who is rich in God has learned to humble himself before the Lord. You see the blessing of the Lord in another perspective, if you are humble before the Lord. That is the third meaning of being rich toward God. You use God's blessings to honor Him. That becomes your highest desire. Just take a look at the rich man. As a rich farmer, he made his plans. He knew exactly what he had to do. He didn't ask, Lord, what is thy way? He knew what he had to do. He was a successful farmer, and for his work he didn't need God. But if you think in the same way, you are still poor. No, you become rich toward God only with everything you ask. Lord, is this thy will? It is not about my desires and my opinion in the first place, but about God's desires and God's will. Not what I want is good, but what is thy will. If you learn this by the work of the Holy Spirit, you begin to ask, and you will ask more and more. Grant me thy wisdom, so that I can serve thee, O Lord. Just try to make it practical for yourself. This other job, this new house, may I go ahead with it? Is this to thy honor? Someone may ask, how can I know God's ways for my daily life? You do not have to wait till you don't have to wait till you get an answer from heaven by way of a text or some special feeling. Neither should we say, it feels good to me, so it's probably God's way. All our good feelings are affected by sin. But if you truly believe that the Lord rules the lives of His children, you may put your trust in the Lord that He will show you His way. Just in the way things happen. You have to pray earnestly for an understanding heart and enlightened mind. We have to depend on the Lord in everything. That means a prayerful life. Rich toward God is not only about the blessing of God and that you acknowledge Him. The purpose of receiving all the blessings is the fruit of it. The fruit of the blessings. What is that? That we may be spiritually blessed with every blessing we receive from the Lord. Rich toward God ultimately means that I know the Lord in His attributes by means of all His blessings. Because in all the blessings, God reveals who He is. Who He is in His wisdom, in His omnipotence, His goodness, His justice, His mercy. The purpose of all the blessings are that we know the Lord and need His mercy for our sinful heart. That we know peace in our heart. All the blessings are meant for us to consider our latter end. For that the rich man didn't have any eye. To him the temporal blessings were good enough. He didn't miss anything. But he forgot that he had to die one day. Every blessing has a purpose. Why are you still living? Why can you still buy fruit and drink? Why do you enjoy health? Why do you live in prosperity? And why do troubles come our way as well? In order that we should repent. As Paul said, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering?" Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That we are sitting in church on Thanksgiving Day has only one purpose. That you will repent. That your life becomes God-centered for the first time and by renewal. Did you ever view the blessings from this perspective? Yes, even in afflictions, they are all directions to God. He wants us to bend our knees, that we would acknowledge the Lord for all the blessings, and that we will do so in humility, for we don't deserve any blessing. But above of all, we need to bend our knees in prayer. Lord, turn thou me. And I shall be turned. Grant me a new heart. Give an account of the past year. Does this fruit appear in your life because of all the blessings you have received? Did the blessings break your heart? Did you bend your knees as you are overwhelmed by the goodness of the Lord? Is this most important in your life? If not, you are like this rich man who is named a fool. You enjoy the blessings, but do you not hear the urgent call of the Lord? Maybe you did hear an urgent call sometimes. It touched you for a while, but after that you continued your own way. Like a stone dropped in a pond, a few wrinkles appear in the water, but after a while the water is just as smooth as before. The Lord wants to wake up. He wants to shake you under the preaching of the gospel. Do not slumber anymore in your success, in your prosperity. Be not satisfied with the blessings only. Become rich toward God. How can I become rich toward God? By becoming poor before God. When you are satisfied with the blessings, when you can handle yourself, when you enjoy temporary life more than spiritual blessings, then you are still satisfied with self, and you are rich toward yourself. But how different would it be when you notice all the blessings in the perspective of God's revelation? When you see who God is in His majesty and holiness, then you will become honest before God. Then you will see who you are, someone who does not deserve anything but condemnation. You cannot stand before God with your sinful life. In this way, the Lord will make room for His riches. In this way, the Lord will reveal by word and spirit what riches really is. You are rich toward God when you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. when He has delivered you from sin and guilt by the precious blood of Jesus Christ? Do you know how the Lord Jesus did? By becoming poor. He was rich toward God. The glory of the Heavenly Father was His. John says in his Gospel, He was in the bosom of the Father. No richer place can be thought. But listen to the miracle of the Gospel, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. Here we have a testimony of the endless love of the Lord Christ toward sinners. He became poor for men who think by nature that they can handle themselves. For people who did not want to be rich toward God, but rich toward themselves. Do you know what can be the lowest place of poverty? Being without God. And that is what Jesus became. He entered the lowest spot a man ever can be in, with the aim to make sinners rich toward God, with the purpose that they have only God in the hour of death. Then you are safe. Death can come all of a sudden, just like we read in this parable. But if you have sought and found your riches toward God, you can no longer die unprepared. If you are rich toward God, you discover more and more of your poverty. If you look to yourself, you see only poverty. But if you look to the Lord Jesus with the eye of faith, you see riches which rise above all you can comprehend. A wealth you cannot explain. Treasures which words cannot express. A riches you can only experience in faith. Then everything in life receives a glow. Then you see the blessings of the Lord in a different perspective. You see them from an eternal perspective. Small blessings become big. Life lived from the goodness of God makes you endless rich. Are you rich or poor? Do you live for the here and now? Then you are unspeakable poor. You are a fool. True riches come only from God. Seek to become rich in God and toward God. If we know something of these riches in life by grace, then you know that the best is still coming. That is the hope of God's children. That is their comfort in the midst of all poverty they meet with in life. Poverty because of difficulties and concerns. Poverty because of the sins they commit daily. Poverty because of indwelling sin. On Thanksgiving Day, the Lord wants to lift up the eye of faith to the Christian hope. Soon there will be no more sorrows and sins that can make them poor. Then there will be an eternal Thanksgiving Day when God's people may honor the triune God fully. Now it is in part, unfortunately, but then it will be perfect forever and ever. Amen.